very much.
Our Old New Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Luke. We're going to read the first four verses. And in these first four verses, we get an outline of what this is all about. It's the purpose of Luke writing this gospel, and he's writing it to a fellow called Theophilus. There are many precious teachings in this particular gospel, the Gospel of Luke, that are not recorded in the other three gospels. For example, the scenario between Zacharias and Elizabeth and the angel Gabriel, and the angel talking also to the Virgin Mary. And we have here in this gospel the account of the two walking on the road to Emmaus after the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, and some other parables. And for this we are so thankful to have this gospel. So yes, who's going to do? Mark. Thank you, Mark.
Luke 1:1-4. For as much as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mark. According to tradition, Luke was a Gentile, and he was also a physician. And we also know that he penned the book of Acts. But this gospel that's before us this morning is a gospel of facts about the Lord Jesus Christ as seen through the eyes of Luke. And our Christianity is built on facts. The fact that the Son of God came down to earth and lived for us, and he died for us, and he has risen again for our salvation. The apostles were all eyewitnesses. They told men what they had seen with their eyes and heard with their ears, and they told the story of the cross. And what they wrote was not just the ideas of man, but as they were guided by the Holy Spirit, for there are no mistakes in their writings. In 2 Peter 1:21 we read, "For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." Luke wrote to Theophilus that he might know, that Theophilus might know the certainty of the account of Jesus Christ. Thank you. We're going to continue on in Luke chapter 1:5-12, but I want to go back to verse 3 and 4. Luke here explains exactly what he's trying to convey to Theophilus and in this letter. And this letter is written, this could have been written to us here this morning. The same message, word for word, is for us today. "It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of the things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you," and this is for us today, "that you may know the certainty of those things in which you were instructed." And so this is the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll go on in Luke's gospel, chapter 1, verse 5. "There was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord." They were blameless. "But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell to burn incense. And when he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Zacharias was troubled, and fear fell upon him. So here we have, in these few verses, we have the account of the sudden appearance of an angel before a Jewish priest. And that Jewish priest is Zacharias, and he is to be told that he will have a son by a miracle. And this son would be the forerunner of the long-promised Messiah. And we read in Malachi 3, verse 1, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts." So what we have here, with this angel appearing before Zacharias and in the temple, he's got the message that they're going to have a child. And that child, we later learn, is John the Baptist. And he's to be a forerunner for Christ. Now, it was a custom in those days that if the king was coming to your town, they would send a messenger, they would send somebody ahead so that everybody in the town could be prepared and ready to meet the king. So the king just didn't turn up anywhere unannounced. It was a very set pattern, as was the custom of the day, to send a messenger ahead to make sure all the preparation was done and everything was in readiness for the arrival of the king. And by the way, this angel appearing to Zacharias is the first communication by an angel, and it's the angel Gabriel, from God for Israel since the writing of Malachi some 400 years before Christ. This promise is about to be fulfilled. The promised seed was about to appear after the coming messenger. In Genesis 22:18, we read, "In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Now, this was spoken to Abraham way back in Genesis. And that promise to Abraham that your seed will be blessed in all because you have obeyed my voice, all the nations of the earth will feel and get the blessing from this. And this has started back in Abraham, and here we are, it's leading to the birth of John the Baptist and then Jesus Christ. Now let us imagine how Zacharias conducted himself here. Would we have been any different? Here we are in church, and if all of a sudden an angel is standing before us, how would we feel? How would we feel? Both Zacharias and Elizabeth lived righteously before God. They knew and obeyed God. They were led by the Holy Spirit of God. And here, Zacharias was chosen by God, and the angel Gabriel was sent to speak with him. What an example for us, for despite what anybody else did, we know that Zacharias was faithful to the Lord. Sadly, today, across many denominations, many teachers today water down the Word of God so as not to offend. And this is to our peril today, because the church is losing its power today because we're not standing firmly on the Word of God and conveying the Word of God and everything that God means to each and every one of us. And the standards of God have fallen away and disappeared in the eyes of so many people today. Because when we pick up the Bible, there is only one Word of God, and that's in between the pages of the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation, the Bible. And the Bible says there is only one way to heaven, and that one way is through Jesus Christ our Lord. I am the way, the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. So we understand from that that to refuse Jesus Christ, to not believe in the gospel message that we have before us this morning, then in unbelief we will feel and face the full wrath of God. Hell is our end. So let us hear this morning, and as we go through this gospel, not meddle with God's word. Let us hear what God's word is telling us. Let us take it to heart and let it take root in our hearts, that we would fully understand and we can go and lead the rest of our lives rejoicing because we have a relationship with our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sadly, in this situation, when we get back to Zacharias and Elizabeth were getting on in years, and she was barren, and they had no child. And this was a very bitter burden for a Jewish family at that time. And we see that demonstrated back in with Elkanah's wife, Hannah, who went and prayed that God would give her a child. And the Lord answered her prayer, and she was given a child. And she handed him over, after he was weaned, handed him over to be a Nazarite, handed him over to the work of the Lord. We all can experience deep trials in our lives. Whether you're a Christian or not, it makes no difference. Our health is far from perfect. Our bodies decay and fall away. And not only that, we have trials in our life's walk, in our conduct with other people, in our businesses today. A lot of businesses fail. We have problems in so many areas of our lives today. We can experience very troublesome times. And for man to face trials is no strange thing, because we all know that there was a curse delivered upon this earth as a result of sin, beginning with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and it still continues today. And sometimes, for some of us anyway, we are blinded by the flesh that we live in, and we cannot see God's hand at work in our lives. And so we are reminded this morning our need is to focus on God and his perfect wisdom for each and every one of us. He will no doubt provide the strength we need to cope in our hour of need. We need to look to him. We need to come to him, and we need to trust in him. We all know what our little children were like when they were 2 and 3 years old, 4 and 5 years old. If they fell over and scratched themselves, if they were bleeding, if somebody hurt them, if somebody did something wrong to them, what is the first thing that comes to mind? They run to their parents, because their parents can fix anything. They run for shelter. They run for comfort. They run for love to their parents. And no hesitation whatsoever. And that's what God wants with us, even though we're adults today. He wants us to fully trust in him. Let us recognise that when we are being chastised, it is able to make us partakers of his holiness. In Hebrews 12:10, for they indeed for a few days chasten us as seemed best to them. That's our parents. But he, that's God, for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. God knows. God never sleeps. He knows what's going on in our minds. He knows the words that we speak with one another before they leave our lips. He knows all about us. He knows the trials and tribulations that we go through in this life. And he wants us to come to him. Our affliction should drive us nearer to Christ and into the Bible, and into much prayer, then it is having a positive effect on us. It is bringing us closer to heaven. In verses 11 and 12 there in the Old Testament, God sent angels to inform men of his intentions. And the perfect example is Abraham. When the angels came and met Abraham, he ran and killed a calf and made a meal for them. And then they talked about the promise of a child. And Abraham realized that he was talking with the Lord. And the angels were with the Lord there that time. And they talked about going off to destroy Sodom because of the wickedness that was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. And of course, then Abraham began to plead with them because he knew his brother Lot was living in Sodom. And he wanted him out of there. He wanted him saved. So we see here that God had beforehand sent angels to speak to men about his intentions. Here he is speaking with the angel Gabriel, speaking to Zacharias, and later he spoke to Mary and Joseph, teaching us that Jesus was not just an angel, but he was the Lord of angels as well as of men. Angels announced his coming when Jesus was born. They proclaimed his birth and they rejoiced at his appearing. We remember the shepherds out in the field seeing the angels' choir singing and rejoicing in heaven at the birth of Jesus Christ. And we need to know and we need to understand that the angels also rejoice whenever one sinner repents and is born again into the kingdom of God. The angels are rejoicing that the love of God has penetrated somebody's heart. Zacharias was troubled and was afraid. Like Moses at the burning bush. Like John on Patmos. And I imagine like any one of us being confronted by an angel of God. But I want to ask you the question, could this fear of being confronted by a representative of God, could this fear come from our inward sense of weakness, our sense and knowledge of guilt and corruption that so entices us away from God? A vision from heaven, an angel or a clear vision from heaven reminds us of our own imperfections and of the gloriousness of Almighty God and the righteousness of God. And I've got to go back to Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne on high. So this is the vision Uzziah had. I saw the Lord sitting on a throne on high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So immediately, when Isaiah has this vision, the majesty and the fullness of God and the brightness of his purity overwhelms him. Above it stood seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. And with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of his glory." And the whole earth is full of the glory of God. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so Isaiah said, "Woe is me, woe is me, I'm undone. Here I am in the presence of Almighty God. What's he going to do to me? Because I'm so impure, I'm so filthy before a holy God. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." What a terrifying scene we have before us there, as Isaiah realizes he's just a hopeless, mere man in the presence of Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. And of course, he goes on to say that the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged." And then the Lord gave him the task. He said, I heard the Lord of the voice saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And I said, here I am, send me. Here we have Zacharias before the angel Gabriel. The angel Gabriel is going to promise him that his wife will have a son and he's to call his name John. What a privileged position for Zacharias to be in. You know, we are unfit to stand before God. And we cannot stand before God without being covered by the blood of Christ, who has taken away our sins. And it is only through him we can draw boldly to the throne of grace. And this is where our hope comes from. From him who paid the price, who is able to open the doors of heaven, to allow each and every one of us who believe in him to come into the very throne of grace. Like Zacharias, if men of God are fearful at the sight of angels, then think of the terror that will grip the hearts of the wicked when they will be gathered before God at the last day. And just like tares or weeds for burning, and their fear and torment, we know by the word of God, will be forevermore. But the righteous, the angels, for the righteous person, the angels become fellow servants and friends for all of eternity. And I want to close with a reading from Revelation 22. Now I, John, saw and heard these things, and when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. This is John on the island of Patmos. He's seen all the glories of heaven. Then he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the words and of those who keep the words of this book, worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work, Jesus said. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idolaters, and whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star. Amen.